Good afternoon. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 2 Timothy, if I can find it. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 21. Well, verse 20. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful, to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. He talks about pursuing righteousness. This is Romans chapter 10. Beginning in verse 30, actually, of chapter 9. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. In other words, they couldn't accomplish it. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith or in faith, but as though if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Sad thing is, this stone, this of stumbling, this rock of offense, not only is that to the Jews who are trying to accomplish righteousness by their works, this happens to be true in the body of Christ. Christians are constantly offended that they can't perform so that we can give them credit for something, when it's all by faith. Verse 1 of chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them, the Jews, is for their salvation. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. So understand, having a zeal for God is not enough to walk in righteousness. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit themselves, surrender themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What's the law about? Man's best effort to be righteous before God. Not just in standing, but in practice. For Christ, this is God's righteousness that we're called to surrender to. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Let me read one more verse. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. For by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. That's a work of grace. Who, Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. He didn't say he gave us. Jesus himself became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification, holiness, and redemption. What Romans 10 says is clearly this. There's a place in the Psalms that says, judge me, O God. It doesn't mean the judgment of condemnation, but discern my life, O God, according to your righteousness. He says that the Jewish people, and I find this to be true among Christian people, is they don't understand that what we're called to walk in is the righteousness of God. And he says the only way you can walk in the righteousness of God is to understand the righteousness of God is a person, Jesus Christ himself, living his righteous life through us. And the only thing that we can do in relation to that is simply say yes to it. Subject yourself to it. Surrender to him in faith. Again, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, which again is not enough. Now, one of the heartbreaking things is to watch a Christian who has great zeal for God, and they're trying harder every day to live a life of righteousness. And they're constantly making recommitments and promises to God that they'll do better this time, that they really mean it this time, and that they'll try harder this time, and for God to please help them more, not knowing that God has already imparted into them the solution, and that solution is a person. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. They have a zeal for God, for righteousness, but don't have revelation of what that's all about. For Christ is the end of self-effort for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ Himself has come to live inside of us, to live through us the very righteousness of God. That's what He carries. You see, His standard of righteousness is higher than ours. There's good news and bad news here. Here's the good news. The good news is that God wants Jesus for you to experience His righteousness and the freedom that comes from His righteousness, the favor that comes with His righteousness. And Jesus Christ is that gift of righteousness to be lived out through us. And all we have to do simply is subject ourselves to that, just submit to that, to Him, and say thank you. To submit by faith and allow Jesus Christ Himself to live the righteousness of God through us. He has become to us righteousness and holiness and wisdom and sanctification. Christianity is not a person, is a person, not a thing. Christianity is a person, not an it. And if you have a real passion for Him, and yet you still find yourself failing over and over again, here's what I pray, that that'll keep happening until it gets so bad that you'll finally give up trying to live a life of righteousness by your own zeal and self-effort, and that you'll discover that there's someone in you who's prepared to live through you the righteousness of God as a free gift. It's a free gift that's experienced moment by faith, the same way you got saved. Holiness and righteousness by faith, step by step in a person. The whole thing's a gift. It starts as a gift. It continues as a gift. It's going to end as a gift. Because you're in Christ. And because you're in Christ, Christ is in you. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. There's no more excuses. Because it's not about whether you're weak or not. People don't fail in the Christian life because they're weak. They fail in the Christian life because they don't believe. And they don't believe often because they don't have knowledge of the truth. But the truth is, Jesus Christ lives in you. He knows how to be a good husband and a good wife. As a matter of fact, He's given you everything in Christ for life and godliness, to be godly in all the practical details of life. Jesus Christ is the one who can do that. That's the grand adventure. That's the good news. That's exciting to know. That we can no longer use our personality or our circumstances or our weakness as an excuse, because you see, in your weaknesses, strength is made perfect. He likes in those places where you're prone towards unrighteous, because it's there becomes a platform for Him to show off. It doesn't disqualify you. It positions you. Those weaknesses that have brought you to the place of despair are the very things that have brought you to the place where you're going to throw up your hands and go, I quit. So that God can lean over heaven and go, hallelujah. I've been waiting for this day. Now I can take over and do through you what only I can do. Just been waiting for you to give it up. Amen. I appreciate your zeal, but I'm glad to see it run out. Now you can know mine. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.